Welcome to the Mock Stars Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Menace. And I'm here with Flash.
What is up? Welcome to the Mock Stars Podcast.
One more time.
Welcome to the Mock Stars Podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering and Dr. Pepper and Don Cheadle. Space Jam 2 in theaters now.
Or at least a pre-recorded version of Flash. Today when we were recording, we kept getting a little bit of interference via the internets, the interwebs breaking down. So Flash has some pre-recorded messages for the people that we'll get to when the time comes. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. We just eclipsed 500 subscribers on YouTube. I think there's an applause button on this thing. Yes! Yes! Applause! And we can thank, give all the thanks in the world to Ear, Leg, Athlete. Earleg Athlete, our 500th subscriber. Flash, any thoughts you'd like to give to Earleg Athlete?
Congratulations to Earleg Athlete, our 500th subscriber, Earleg Athlete. Welcome to the Mock Stars Lounge. I hope you love your back and that this podcast you gathering, whether they be related to Don Cheadle's various cinematic enterprises, such as such as his character on the wonderful TV show Black Monday. Earleg Athlete, you're part of the family. And I think I can speak for both Menace and myself when I say, I love you.
Truly, truly revolutionary. So 500 subscribers. We're halfway to the goal of monetizing the show at 1,000 subscribers. So keep on subscribing. Keep on sharing. Keep on liking. Keep on ringing that dang little bell. You can also find us on all major podcasting platforms where you can leave us a 5-star review to make us look super duper cool. Not only that, but when you leave us a 5-star review, it helps new people find the show. So go on your platform of choice and, give us that old thumbs up. You can also support us via Patreon, where you can become an official Pepperhead. For $3 a month, you can become an official Pepperhead. Have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. Support the show. You can also jump on the Discord server. You can support us at the Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead tier for $5 a month. Get access to each of our bi-weekly giveaways. And you can support us at the 2-liter tier, like definitely Jeremy, Pool Boy Barry, UWP Quirt, and Aaron Becca. And get 2 free entries into each of our bi-weekly giveaways. You can also hop in to the Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge. Eat brunch with LeBron and his fake family. Dr. Pepper French toast with Reven Lift, who's been rounding the corner to the year, to the year's worth of Mock Stars Dr. Pepper Lounge access, netting him the one of one bucket hat. Is this highly anticipated? I can't wait for it to actually happen. It might have already happened. Who knows? Huh. We do. And I think it's just like one more month. So, you can support us on Patreon. Find us there. Really goes a long way for us. We really, truly do appreciate it. All right. Today is a big episode. This is a highly anticipated episode. The episode that you have been waiting for. Highly anticipated episode. You've been waiting for it. Yep. The return to Taeom. Last week's episode, we had Atlas on the show talking about all the things that are wrong with CDH. But not all the things, but the primary concerns surrounding CDH. So if you missed that episode, make sure you go on back, check out that episode, and just give it a listen and let us know how we did. But today, we are returning to Taeom, which is like the Taeom CDH breakdown that we did is by far the most viewed YouTube video that the Mockstars have ever made. It's a deck that is so intriguing to the people. It is something that continuously grows. I've never seen a deck like Taeom evolve in the way that like this that this has. So while like Blue Farm has all the good stuff, it has all the really great cards, and you know, just has very good generic value and card draw stable to things, Taeom is like a build around, but it's so effective. It wins the instant speed, and there's so many different like creative ways to build the deck. So it's been probably about 18 months since we've talked about it last. And in that time, there have been so many new cards to hit the scene. So I mean, with the, you know, like the entry of Tarkir Dragonstorm, we're going to go through a few lists that have topped at tournaments, who have performed really, really well on EDH top. The lists are found on EDH top 16. So we're going to go through, we're going to talk about planeswalkers, creatures, sorceries, instants, enchantments, artifacts, and land packages that can be found in Taeom, highlighting some of the newer cards. We're going to like touch on those a little bit more than some of like the more pronounced, like, I guess, staples in Taeom. So let's get right into it. The first, we have Bond Ragsdale, who won a tournament on March 8th of this year. We're just going to get right into this. The deck list is called Taeom, Force of Will this activation, coward. And if you're unfamiliar with Taeom, as some may be, in 2020 they released this magnificent beast. Taeom, Luminous Enigma, one, a white, a black, and a green for a 3/3 nightmare beast. It says each other creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional vigilance counter on it. Very important line of text, because it also doesn't specify token or non-token. So any tokens that you create are going to enter with a vigilance counter as well. It is a huge part of why Taeom works as well as it does. You can pay 3 colorless mana, remove 3 counters from among creatures you control. That's 3 generic mana, just, you know, like any type of mana. Put the top 3 cards of your library into your graveyard, then return a permanent card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. That can be lands. That can be, you know, like if you want to hit a landfall trigger and that, you know, brings something back from the graveyard to the battlefield, blah, 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 blah. You know, it grabs anything. It grabs any permanent onto the battlefield. Enchantments, artifacts, lands, creatures. Boom. It does it. Bada bing, bada boom. It does it. Taeom is super amazing. When it first came out, I built this, and it was like a neg one counter build, because Yawgmoth and Hypatra were just kind of like crazy at the time. I thought it was like a really unique package, but the deck has evolved into a CDH monstrosity. It is, I think, number 16 as far as deck population across the country. So like, I think it's something like less. It's like almost like a percentage of the meta, like 0.99 of the meta, which is insane to me. This should be a way higher percentage of the meta, but it's not. Should be. But here's the thing, is that Taeom has an incredibly high skill ceiling, which means that you have to put in reps in order for it to put up results. A lot of people become impatient, because playing Taeom is like doing calculus homework. Nobody really likes doing calculus homework. And if you do, this deck is for you, because it is a Rube Goldberg machine of calculation upon calculation upon calculation. So let's get started, diving right in. Our updated CDH breakdown for Taeom. Right off the bat, planeswalkers, there's only one. There's only one that really exists when it comes to multiple lists. And Tyvar, Jubilant Brawler, is new, I think, to our CDH breakdowns, or to this CDH breakdown. One, a black and a green. It feels like this has been around forever. It has just been, as soon as it was printed, it became a staple. You may activate abilities of creatures you control as though those creatures had haste. Yeah, crazy good. You can plus one, untap up to one target creature. Can be relevant, but you're probably going to do the minus two here. Minus two, mill three cards. Then you may return a creature card with mana value two or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. This grabs a Bloom Tender, you know, so like you you minus this, grab a Bloom Tender, it can immediately tap for the three mana, or, you know, even just two mana. Like if you don't have Tayom or you don't have a white permanent, it still is able to tap for two, like two mana as soon as it enters right off this activation. So yeah, there's a lot of really great things that Tyvar can grab, seeing as, you know, like half of the deck's creatures are two or less. There's a lot of chances to be able to hit something that is, well, viable, you know, something that's going to, you know, contribute to the board state. So it's really, really just like a secondary commander almost in a way. And here's the thing, it's three mana and it's a permanent. So Tayom can mill it and bring it to the battlefield as well. So I've always had like a couple kooky Planeswalker packages in my builds, like playing Gideon of the Trials and then playing like something like Gideon Blackblade, because once you have Gideon of the Trials activate, get the thing that says you can't lose the game as long as you control a Gideon Planeswalker, Gideon Blackblade becomes a creature in your turn. You can remove the loyalty counters as part of Tayom's cost, and then it kills, like it'll usually die, and then you recur it, and then you always control a Gideon Planeswalker, and you can always activate it at instant speed, and then you never lose the game. I thought that was cute, but it's not that good. Tyvar is way, way better. Going through creatures, a lot of dorks. They're dorks on dorks on dorks. This deck has two problems. One, generating mana. Two, generating counters. Those are the two things that you need in order for this to function. So, like, that is generally why this is a build around. You can't just play the best cards in Abzan, but it actually makes it a far more effective machine that you actually, you know, that you can build around this little enigma. So, yeah, Dorks, Arbor Elf, Abzan's Pilgrim, Birds of Paradise. Carrion Feeder is a sack outlet at the one mana value slot. This is like the best. There are basically only two sack outlets in this particular list, and they both do the same thing. Bartolome de Presidio and Carrion Feeder. Carrion Feeder sacks a creature, eats a creature, put a plus one counter on Carrion Feeder. Bartolome actually allows you to eat a creature or an artifact. So a little bit more diverse, but you put a plus one counter on Bartolome. So they're both fantastic. Keep moving on. We have Deathrite Shaman, Delighted Halfling, Elves of Deep Shadow, Elvish Mystic, and then Llanowar Elves. Bloom Tender, Devoted Druid is just a combo machine in Tayom since it puts counters on itself. So usually this, like Devoted Druid, the lines along with it come with, like, some people will play like Swift Reconfiguration, but others have now strayed more towards using Centaur Garden. So Centaur Garden is a super old card out of Odyssey that says, you can add a green mana to your pool. It deals one damage to you. This is the same cycle of lands as Cephalid Coliseum. So if you have Threshold, you can pay a green, tap it, sacrifice it. Target creature gets +3/+3 until end of turn. Giving Devoted Druid +3/+3 is enough. I think you only have to give it two, actually. But +3/+3 is enough. You give it +3/+3. Now you can put Negwin counters on it and generate enough mana to be able to remove those counters with Teyam's ability, and then you get to see the entirety of your library milled into your graveyard. Infinite activations, infinite access to your library. It's just, it's worth running, right? So even if you're not, like, or even if you haven't run into this yet, I mean, you're going to get a vigilance counter on the Devoted Druid. It's going to tap. You can untap it with a Negron counter and then tap it again for mana and then just remove the vigilance counter and the Negron counter in conjunction with a couple other things or whatever. And then you get an activation, get a better chance at hitting that Centaur Garden. So yeah, Devoted Druid is just really an all-star in the deck. Along with that, Wall of Roots is a staple. Always has been, always will be. It's just too good to go around the table and put a one of those neg zero, neg one counters on Wall of Roots and generate that mana. Even if you don't use it, it's just really good to have three counters available at any given time. So that's why we play cards like the Money Changer. It's such an old card, but Money Changer is a one white mana creature, townsfolk, that enters with three money counters on it. I don't want to squint to read this text, but at the beginning of your upkeep, you can lose a life, put a counter on it. It's great. It's one mana, three counters, creature. It does the thing that you want. It's really an all-star. It's a staple in pretty much all Teyam decks. Haywire Might, I like here. I'm not sure if Haywire Might was like a staple back when we first talked about this, but I'm glad to see it's getting more and more play just because of the, the prevalence of Rhystic Study, Smothering Tithe, and the One Ring. So last week when we were talking with Atlas, we're talking about how games drag into the mid, like into this mid-range madness where time is your most valuable resource. And once you get to a certain stage in the game, you're just consuming so much time. Like certain players are, you know, playing on top of the stack, just trying to like continue build. And then the stack gets crazy, 17 triggers. And then it takes, you know, like 30 seconds or more to resolve each one. And then, oh my God, now one turn is taking 25 minutes. Teyam is so good at dismantling like the decks that like to do that the most, wait until the clock runs down and then push for a win. Teyam is one of those decks that if the cards, the cards don't even have to fall right to you. Usually the machine is built so well that it's just going to generically grind value, find ways to get there, get to its combos, and do it at instant speed. So Teyam is a deck that plays on other players' turns. But it has a means to an end, where a lot of those other decks are just spinning their wheels. All right, Haywire Might, awesome inclusion here. Emperor of Bones. This is definitely a new card that we have not talked about in previous Teyam builds. But Emperor of Bones was, when announced for Modern Horizons 3, I think it was Flash who did say, like, hey, this is good. He also said,
I have seen the film Tar at least 15 times.
And I don't know how that was relevant to the Emperor of Bones, but he felt the need to mention that. But this says, at the beginning of combat on your turn, exile up to one target card from a graveyard. You can pay one and a black to adapt two, put two +1/+1 counters on it. Whenever one or more +1/+1 counters are put on Emperor of Bones, put a creature card exiled with Emperor Bones onto the battlefield under your control with a finality counter on it. It gains haste. Sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. So, actually really good, because you pay that mana, you adapt to, that's two counters, vigilance counter. Go to, like, exile a card at the beginning of combat. Adapt to, put the counters on, get a creature back. It enters with a vigilance counter and a finality counter. Teyam can eat the finality counter, so it just goes right back to the grave when you have to sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. So Emperor of Bones becomes like this, like, crazy engine. There are times when I'm like, I wish you could trigger the exile more than once per turn, but sometimes that's all you need. So, exile a creature, exile up to one target card from a graveyard. So it doesn't even have to be a creature. You can interact with the grave in meaningful ways with Emperor of Bones. I've always thought that, you know, like, maybe that's like a little too slow, but you can still cast it in your main phase one and then get that trigger where, like, things like Clothis, you have to wait until your upkeep or the beginning of your first main phase. So you miss the opportunity a lot of the time on, well, you miss the opportunity to get that exile effect as soon as you play it. So Ember of Bones gives you that upside. Another Modern Horizons 3 card seeing play here is Felia, Exuberant Shepherd, the Corgi. This is a one and a white flash. When it attacks, exile up to one other target non-land permanent. At the beginning of the next end step, return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control. If it entered under your control, put a +1/+1 counter on Felia. So really great here as well to basically reset counters on creatures that you control or get value in other ways. You know, Teyam is still on the battlefield. You exile a creature, it comes back down, gets an additional vigilance counter, and Felia will get a +1/+1 counter as well. So you can kind of see where the deck wants to be going is generating value naturally. It does it on its own. A lot of the cards, a lot of the effects are good enough to reuse enter the battlefield effects like Felia and with Emperor of Bones where you can reuse something from the graveyard. And then not only that, put +1/+1 counters on themselves. Emperor of Bones is also super rad because if you adapt to and put 2+1/+1 counters on it, remove the finality counter from the creature you just reanimated and remove the 2+1/+1 counters off of Emperor Bones so that you can adapt it again on the following turn. So there are a lot of really cool things just between these two cards where, like, yeah, they just have a lot of natural chemistry and a lot of natural synergy with Teyam. And you'll love to see that. We have Marvin, Murderous Mimic from Duskmourn as well. Duskmourn, Marvin, Murderous Mimic. It's a legendary artifact creature toy. Marvin, Murderous Mimic has all activated abilities of creatures you control that don't have the same name as this creature. So that's a Bloom Tender. That's an Emperor of Bones. That's a Devoted Druid. That's a Bartolome. That's a Carrion Feeder. That's a Sylvan Safekeeper. That's a Haywire Mite. That's a lot of cards in this deck. Knight of the Reliquary, it does it as well. So, like, there's a lot going on here with just Marvin alone where it becomes this, like, really, really crazy, like, value piece that just, yeah, I can't really, you know, it's a Deathrite Shaman as well. It just, there's so many things that it can do. And really, I think it was Tordeth who opened my eyes to it when he was first trying it in Rocco. So for it to be find a home here, I love it. It can also get hit off of the Tyvar activation, which you love to see. All right. Another thing that Teyam does really, really well is stacks. And so here we have Archon of Emeria, which is just, again, another natural fit into the deck. Even though it doesn't generate +1/+1 counters or counters on its own, we're still waiting for that type of effect to be printed at a, you know, at a greater power level. So Archon of Emeria, non-basic lands your opponent's control enter tapped. Each player can't cast more than one spell each turn. It's also a 2/3 flyer. So enters, you know, if you get a vigilance counter on it, it can still, like, punish a little bit. But yeah, more than anything, it's a recurrable rule of law effect that you can sacrifice at will, or as long as you have a sac outlet, you can sacrifice this at will to lift the gates so you can continue to cast spells and interact with the game in a meaningful way. So Archon of Emeria, I love it. Super great card. We also have Aven Interrupter. This is probably the best card since our last discussion about Teyam to have been printed. This is 1/2 white flash flying 2/2 bird rogue. When Aven Interrupter enters the battlefield, exile target spell. It becomes plotted. Spells your opponents cast from graveyards or from exile cost 2 more to cast. Now, level with me here. This is crazy. This is a really good card. Oh my God. Makes me nervous just thinking about how good it is. Because the ability to reanimate at instant speed with Taeyom, just this thing, and the ability to sacrifice it, and the ability to bring it back again. Oh my God. And plotting? What is plotting? What does a spell being plotted mean? The owner may cast it as a sorcery on a later turn without paying its mana cost. But then it also makes things cost two more if they're cast from exile or from the graveyard. So this little doodad, fingers pointing at it the right way on YouTube, this little doodad stops Underworld Breach pretty much dead in his tracks. So, yeah, you can't generate enough mana to continue casting through this with Avian Interrupter out. But plotting is also disgusting. Like, it can only be cast as a sorcery on a later turn, which means that it has to go a full turn cycle. It might as well have been delayed. A full turn cycle before you can cast it again. And a lot of times, a counterspell getting plotted, sorry, that ish is just gone forever. So Avian Interrupter is a really, really, really great new piece for Taeyom that allows stack interaction on a whole new level. All right, Avian Mind Sensor finds a place here as well. It doesn't allow opponents to really search their libraries. Eidolon of Rhetoric, another like 3-mana values rule of law effect. You can also have Endurance in your list as a recurrable piece. Now featuring Enduring Vitality. So for three mana, a recurrable, like once you sacrifice it though, it will come back as an enchantment, but it is a static effect that will allow your creatures to continue tapping 4 mana. We also have Circle of Dreams Druid as another mana dork I didn't mention earlier. Having multiple Gaia's Cradle type effects is really good. I am a big advocate for Sanctum Weaver because I'm an Enchantress player, and having multiple Sarah's Sanctum type effects, it's really good. It's really good. And so this finds a home here. One, it's 3 mana value. Everyone like kind of looked at it and said the 3 green pips were just a little too much for them. So Circle of Dreams Druid didn't really make the cut in a lot of decks. But this, Taeyom doesn't care, just brings it right back. Tyvar is out. Boom. Tap away, baby. Tap, tap, taparoo. It's going your home. Happy Gilmore reference, if you didn't know. Happy Gilmore 2 coming out soon. Faerberal Elder, another dork, just like Bloom Tender. And now let's get into the newest of new cards. We have Felothar, Dawn of the Abzan, a white, black, and a green legendary human warrior, 3/3 with trample. Whenever Felothar enters or attacks, you may sacrifice a non-land permanent. When you do, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. This is a lot nuttier in this deck than I thought it ever would be. So seeing the immediate injection of this into lists, because this is not the only list that I've seen. This won a tournament, which is great. It's fantastic, right? The list after it also had this. The list after this also had this. Like, it just kept going down the line. People are playing Felothar, and it is putting in work. When it enters or attacks, you may sacrifice a non-land permanent.
Itself. You sacrifice itself.
When you do, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature you control. So, as long as you have, you know, like 3 creatures out there, Felothar is always going to generate the number of counters that you need. It's always going to sac itself. So if you have, as long as you have the ability to generate mana, Felothar is something that will sacrifice itself. You can reanimate it, sacrifice itself again, put +1/+1 counters on things, keep spinning the wheel, keep putting cards into the graveyard. That's also like a not nothing type of play with Tayom is like, sometimes you just activate and recur the same thing over and over and over and over and over again until the right things fall into the graveyard. So Felothar, really, really great here. And a looping, almost a self-looping piece. All you need is some additional mana to help out. All right. Some utility pieces here with Knight of the Reliquary, which I think is valuable for bringing out Gaia's Cradle. Lorna of the Third Path, great for artifact and enchantment removal. Opposition Agent is a no-brainer. But there's another really unique old-ass card in here. It's called Pulse Mage Advocate. Has anyone seen this card before? I haven't. Like, not until today. And it's not... Just like Felothar, this is not the only list that it appears in. And this is new. This is new to me. This is an old-ass card. It's 2 and a white for a cleric. It doesn't even have human written on it. It hasn't seen a printing. It's covered in dust. Man, this thing's ancient. It hasn't seen a... That's how old it is. From Judgment. But it says, tap, return 3 target cards in an opponent's graveyard to his or her hand. Return target creature card from your graveyard to play. Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. Like, in this dump, like, why is this? No one had eyes on this before. And now I'm looking at it and I'm like, wow, putting something into your opponent's hand from the graveyard is actually interacting with the grave in a meaningful way. Like, and not only that, your instant speed reanimating a creature, whatever you want, whatever creature you want from your graveyard. So this is bonkers. This is really good. And I'm so glad that I decided that this was the day that I'm going to do this episode so I could learn about
Pulse Mage Advocate.
Yeah, that's the name. I'm a firm believer in the Pulse Mage Advocate now. I really like it. You just have to read it one time and be like, yeah, and CDH, that's really good to be able to interact with a grave like that. So, cool stuff. Really great card. Whoever discovered this, you deserve a round of applause. You deserve a pre-recorded message from Flash saying how wonderful and great you are. Ranger Captain, no-brainer. One of the best white cards in CDH. Recruiter of the Guard, Tutor, Rishkar, Rosie Cotton for combo potential. Skyclave Apparition for removal. And yet another new card from Tokyo Dragonstorm. We have Warden of the Grove. 2 and a green. This is probably my most hyped card coming into the episode with Tayam, but with
Pulse Mage Advocate,
I think that opinion might have changed a little bit. Warden of the Grove is amazing. Not trying to like knock any of the other cards in the list, but Warden of the Grove, 2 and a green, Hydra 2/2, that says at the beginning of your end step, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. Whenever another non-token creature you control enters, it endures X. X is the number of counters on this creature. So, pause for a second. Tayom says that creatures enter with an additional vigilance counter. 1. That's a counter on Warden of the Grove. So, that counts towards the endure X. Like the X thing for enduring? Yeah, that counts towards that. So, 1 counter already. You go to the end step. It puts another counter on itself. 2 freaking counters. Lovely. Love that crap, you know? So now, after this ability is resolved in your end step, you go to the next player's turn. It's, you know, with active player, non-active player, you know, like having wait when you're involving the stack, it's better to wait to your opponent's turn anyway. But you go ahead and you activate this on your opponent's upkeep, or you activate Tayom on your opponent's upkeep. Whatever you mill and choose to have enter, as long as Warden of the Grove has met those conditions of having a vigilance counter and a +1/+1 counter, they are going to endure X.
So you're going to put 2 +1 +1 counters on it, probably, or you can create an XX white spirit creature token. This ability, Endure, is bonkers. It's kind of nuts. It's kind of OP because it can add to your Gaia's Cradle count, but it can also do exactly what Teyam wants. So it's sort of like a... I'm not sure if this is win more yet, because it doesn't like create 3 counters for itself right away. You do have to like have the mana for an activation. It comes around. Whatever enters is going to endure for probably 2. And then it enters with 2 +1 +1 counters, plus Teyam gives it the vigilance counter. So it makes everything naturally enter with additional counters. At the very least, the minimum number of counters that you need in order to activate for Teyam. So that is huge. With like, this is a, yeah, sort of like a self-fulfilling engine in the same way that like Orcish Bowmasters is. So, which can't believe I glossed right over the Bowmaster. Holy crap, what a great card in Teyam. I don't know if we talked about this last time, but hey, 1 in a black, flash, 1/1, when it enters, or whenever an opponent draws a card, except the first one in each of their draw steps, Orcish Bowmasters deals 1 damage to any target, and then mass orcs 1. Bowmasters enters, it gets a vigilance counter. A mass orcs 1 creates a token, that gets a vigilance counter. That also gets a +1/+1 counter because you're amassing. 3 counters right there, just by entering the battlefield. So it creates the 3 that you need. The additional body as well is super valuable for decks that want to play Ashnod's Altar, or when you're, when you remove the counters for Teyam's activation, removing the +1/+1 counter and the vigilance counter will just kill it. It dies. And then if you have a way to sacrifice the Bowmasters, great. Oh, what? Bowmasters deals damage to any target? Oh, it can just kill itself. Pretty convenient. So you can keep killing Bowmasters, keep killing itself over and over again, as long as you have the mana to activate. And then once you find your loop, you just cycle Bowmasters over and over and over and over and over again. So it's like it's a self-fulfilling engine. The cool thing is that in our previous build, in our previous episode, I know for a fact we talked about how many draining effects are like, you might need 1 or 2 draining effects to really see your to like hit maximum effectiveness with life loss and blah 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 blah. You don't need that anymore. Nobody's playing Blood Artist effects. Nobody's playing that crap no more because Orcish Bowmasters exists, because you can just loop the Bowmasters infinitely, dealing infinite damage to your opponents. That is now the win condition. So if you are playing against Teyam, you can probably win if you just Praetor's Grasp their Bowmasters away. Most players are off of the life drain effects like Meat Hook Massacre, or, like I was saying, like any type of Blood Artist effect. So, yeah, get rid of the Bowmasters, you're golden. Praetor's Grasp, Teyam, Bowmasters, gone. Bye-bye. Warden of the Grove, yet to be seen. Maybe win more, but for Teyam, it's just such a perfectly designed card. It does so many great things. White Plume Adventurer and Bright Glass Gearhulk round out the creature package for this deck. Bright Glass is also another card that's not just in this list. It's in other lists too. So even though it's 4 mana, if you're able to get there, or if you're able to reanimate it, or you're able to put it back in your hand and cast it, it's that valuable. It's when it enters, you search your library for up to 2 artifact, creature, and or enchantment cards with mana value 1 or less, reveal them, put them into your hand, then shuffle. So this deck in particular is on Concordant Crossroads, so you can go ahead and grab that, and now you can activate or swing in with all of your creatures after making them infinitely larger or whatever. However you want to do it. That's probably the other line that this deck runs outside of Bowmasters. But yeah, you have
quite a few options when you use the Bright Glass Gear Hulk to find win conditions. So it's a pretty good card in here. It's a 4/4 first strike trample, so it's not nothing. All right, going to sorceries. The other list that we're looking at is by Michael's Magic or Michael McFadden. Placed pretty high with their TAM list as well. There aren't really many changes outside of, like, they're including Dranith Magistrate. They're including another Modern Horizons 3 card that I really love, Metastatic Evangel, which is one in a white. Whenever another non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, proliferate. So that's really great. It's almost like a Felothar. You know, like when you put Felothar out and you sacrifice it, and it puts plus and plus counters on it. As long as there's a vigilance counter out there, the Evangel is going to just keep putting additional vigilance counters on creatures you control. So I think that's it definitely requires a little bit of a setup, but I do think it's a really unique include here for two mana that can also get hit off of the Tyvar activation. Breena is also another change here. Manglehorn. And that's basically, you know, like those are the very small differences. So you really love to see how much uniformity there is. Both decks are on like Stranglerout Geist and Young Wolf lines. Sorceries, Green Sun Zenith, Imperial Seal, Demonic Tutor. Two of the best tutors in the game. Imperial Seal is particularly good in Taeyong since putting a card on top and then activating and putting it into the graveyard probably sets you up for the win. Green Sun Zenith is just good. Just really good. So for one green mana, you can go grab a Dryad Arbor, which I don't think either of these decks are on, which is a mistake when you're playing Green Sun Zenith. Just kidding. I don't know if you could tell that I was kidding there, but I was kidding. It's fine. It's a good card. It goes and gets Young Wolf, you know, like it does a lot. Look how many green cards are in this list. Come on. You knew I wasn't serious. Moving to instants, we have Crop Rotation, Vampiric Tutor, Worldly Tutor. Again, cards really great. Instant speed, put something on top of the library. Boom. Probably sets you up for the win. Quarter Calling and Dismember. Funny thing is that pretty much all the lists are on Dismember. Like, it's really good right now. And it's usually one mana and four life. So not bad. Not a bad conversion. Lion's Eye Diamond for artifacts. Expedition Map, Soul Ring, Agatha's Soul Cauldron. I'm pretty sure we talked about this last time we did this, but the Soul Cauldron is just really great. You know, exiling something from your graveyard or somebody else's graveyard to give the activated ability is awesome. Plus it puts plus one counters on creatures. So like you can use this to hit the Emperor of Bones with, you know, like you can activate this exile creature card, hit the Emperor of Bones, reanimate whatever thing it has already exiled. So I think it's a really cool, or well, Agatha's Soul Cauldron is one of the best cards in CDH. And I'll say it confidently, because I use it in pretty much every single build that I make now, because its ability to, at instant speed, tap and interact with the graveyard. Just plucking one card out of the graveyard is super valuable. It just like the timing, and like when Underworld Breach is, you know, like on the stack, pulling out the Brain Freeze and just like forcing them to work a little bit harder and having to work through three opponents instead of like, I don't know, just having access to every piece they need. It's super good. This deck plays Disruptor Flute. I think it's really great. Disruptor Flute from Modern Horizons 3. Again, another really, I don't know, Modern Horizons 3 was pretty good. But as it enters, you can choose a card name. Spells with the chosen name cost 3 more to cast. Activated abilities of sources with the chosen name can't be activated unless they're mana abilities. So you can turn off somebody's commander, make it cost a hell of a lot more. You can also shut off some pretty like well-known combo lines. The thing is that Bartolome can also eat this. So can Felothar. So like when Felothar enters or when Bartolome is present,
You just sacrifice it when it's no longer a relevant name that's on it. And you just reanimate it and put the right name on it. And then you stop and you slow the game to your pace again. So Disruptor Flute, a really cool piece here. Ashnod's Altar, I think, is an auto-include for Teom. A lot of people don't agree. They find that they can create the value and get the loops that they need through things like Bartolome and Carrion Feeder with a young wolf and blah, 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 blah. I tend to disagree. I think Ashnod's Altar is where the deck goes nuclear. So especially in conjunction with this enchantment, Promise of Boonrai. So Promise of Boonrai was one of the first cards that I saw in 2020 when Teom first released that I built around. Because for two and a white, it's an enchantment that says whenever a creature you control dies, doesn't matter if it's a token, nothing, sacrifice Promise of Boonrai. If you do, create 4/1/1 colorless spirit creature tokens. So Ashnod's Altar, as long as you have an activation, like the mana to activate one time after setting this up, and you have a sac out. Well, you do have a sac outlet with Ashnod's Altar, but you activate Ashnod's Altar, sacrificing a creature with Promise of Boonrai on the battlefield. It spawns 4 tokens with 4 vigilance counters. You then remove 3 of those vigilance counters and then sacrifice. You have to be able to create the mana. Like, you have to have mana for one activation or one additional mana so you can sacrifice the one spirit that's still left with a vigilance counter on it, take the 3 vigilance counters off, sacrifice, you know, and then spin the wheel, bring the Promise of Boonrai back to the battlefield, and now you can sacrifice the tokens that don't have vigilance counters on them for the mana that necessary for Ashnod's Altar. So sacrifice 2 of them, you have 1 floating. Now Promise of Boonrai sacrifices again, creates 4 more with 4 more vigilance counters, and then you have now a self-feeding cycle. So those two in conjunction go infinite with the additional mana for one activation. So it's a really great line. It's really efficient. I love it. There's another couple of enchantments here that are worth talking about. We have Earthcraft. Tap an untapped creature you control. Untap target basic land. It's also really great. Tam's ability to mill and grab a basic out so that you can continue to abuse this is freaking wonderful, especially when you can grab something that produces multiple bodies. You know, like, that's almost like where Warden of the Grove comes in, where enduring for the spirit would be more valuable than enduring for the counters. So you also have Insidious Roots. This is a 2 mana enchantment from Murders at Karlov Manor. Manor. It sounded weird, like I said manure at first. But anyway, this one we definitely did not talk about because it hadn't come out yet. Creature tokens you control have tap, add 1 mana of any color, and then whenever one or more creature cards leave your graveyard, create a 0/1 green plant creature token, then put a +1/+1 counter on each plant you control. Wah, wah, wee, wah. This does really great things, especially in conjunction with Tyvar or with a 1,000-year Elixir, which I've seen some other lists have. But Insidious Roots seems really, really good. Creature tokens you control have tap, add 1 mana of any color. Huh, that's good. And then, whenever one or more creature cards leaves the graveyard, which is what your deck wants to do, create a 0/1 green plant and then put a counter on it. So it gets a vigilance and a +1/+1 counter right away. Holy crap. I would consider playing Renegade Rallier in combination with Insidious Roots so you can pull multiple creatures out of the graveyard with one ETB effect, getting 2 plants, 2 vigilance counters, 2 +1/+1 counters. Well, I should get more than that. One would get 2 counters and one would get 1 counter. So you get 2 vigilance counters and 3 +1/+1 counters because the Renegade Rallier is a separate ETB trigger, creating multiple instances of whenever one or more creature cards leave your graveyard. So that would be worthwhile, I think. You also have Aura of Silence here in the enchantment package, a recurrable stacks piece that, you know, like, it makes things 2 more to cast, which we talked about with Aven Interrupter already. Stops a lot of Underworld Breach lines pretty effectively. Not only that, it just nukes on a world breach because you can sacrifice it at instant speed to destroy target artifact or enchantment. So pretty good. Pretty damn good here. A lot of people don't play it because it's one and two white to establish the effect. It doesn't have flash, but with Taom, it allows you to do it at instant speed. All right. Lands. Nothing to see here. Just kidding. You have Gavinny Township, which puts plus one counters on each creature you control. Can be a great end step little thing. We talked about Centaur Garden already and its relation to Devoted Druid. We have Caverner Souls. Ancient Tomb is incredible here, and more so than in most other decks. Guy's Cradle. Pretty much everything. Talon Gates and Medora. This is... I wish there was a way for you to sacrifice lands. Well, you do. Yeah. You do have a way to sacrifice lands with Sylvan Safekeeper. So you could potentially set up a scenario where you have enough to loop a couple times and you use Sylvan Safekeeper to sacrifice Talon Gates and then keep reusing it as a way to phase creatures out. I think that's pretty rad. So Talon Gates, yeah. Being able to mill it and then recur it at instant speed, really good. Really good. It's, I mean, a lot of people see the value in it almost immediately because it does have the ability from your hand to say, pay four, put it from your hand onto the battlefield, being a piece of removal. And then it also comes into the battlefield untapped. So, yeah, for whatever that's worth, it does it. Urza Saga, really great here. It allows you to grab Lion's Eye Diamond, Expedition Map. Pretty much, I mean, Expedition Map's the big one, I think, because, you know, or Soul Ring, even just for the extra mana generation. But yeah, using the Expedition Map to go grab your Gaia's Cradle could be the difference between you winning or losing the game. So everything else is very straightforward. The land package always for Taom has been sort of straightforward. You don't want to mess with too many things. Obviously, Gaia's Cradle is a priority. Talon Gates is a great piece of removal. Everything else is just about pulling cards out of the library so that you, when you hit your mills with Taom, you have a higher percentage chance of hitting meaningful cards. So that's why fetch lands, pretty much every off color fetch land is here. So yeah, really great stuff. You're also playing, what is it? This Prismatic Vista, so you can grab a basic land for the Earthcraft. I think this is a really well thought out list. This, like, Taom builds in the past, I've always looked at and been like, man, you're not seeing the Matrix in the way that, you know, because I've piloted it probably 100 times, and it's like now. I feel like these lists that are topping, like I can resonate with that. I see what you're trying to do, and I really enjoy it. I really do. I think that Taom is, like I said, still very much like it's growing at a rate that is unlike anything else in CEDH, because you have all of the new cards that we talked about today, like in the past 18 months. Have just been like making the deck so freaking strong and consistent. It's unreal. Like the addition, like that almost auto include the last two sets, there's three cards or more. I probably just am not seeing them. Four sets, like the last like three sets, right? So let's go Aether Drift, Tarkir, and Duskmourn. There are a ton of cards from that set. From those sets in the list. So like the deck is growing. The plus one counter synergies keep getting better and more efficient. Eventually, I can't imagine they keep making cards that keep pushing the boundaries of what is possible with Taom, but I keep getting proven wrong. So I'm excited to see where this goes. If you are excited to see where this goes, make sure you leave a comment below in the YouTube video. If there's anything that I missed, please let me know. I'm not going to fall into the same stupid trap last time. We now know that you cannot remove counters and sacrifice creatures to Ashnod's altar at the same time in order to achieve the cost of Teyam. I don't know the ruling right off the top of my head. It's like 158.7. That's just a shot in the dark. If it is, hell yeah, dude. Memory served me right. But yeah, when you pay a cost for a creature's activation, you have to have all the things in hand. You got to have your money in hand if you want to buy something. So the one thing I will say about Teyam before I do the whole outro thing, the deck folds super hard to Cursed Totem. Anything that stops creature activations from happening, this folds to. Like, it's the Achilles heel for the deck. And while there are like a few options for sure that allow you to get through it, like Haywire Might and Lorna of the Third Path, they're not playing any instants that remove artifacts or enchantments. There are no other cards in the deck that really allow you to destroy artifacts or enchantments. They're just basically saying, like, I hope to get there before Cursed Totem arrives. Otherwise, I am top decking and praying for a Haywire Might or Lorna of the Third Path. But if they also, it's just a counterspell really messes up your day. Yeah, that's the big weakness of the deck. Limvala and Drana, the two, you know, like all those things very much shut Teyam down and make it a very miserable experience at the table when they do land. So keep your eyes peeled for those. But outside of that, the deck, it really, it does the, I wish Flash is here to give me a little, you know, to say something about that. But yeah, anyway, like I said, if I missed anything, leave a comment. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of the podcast. We super duper appreciate you tuning in. If you'd like to support the show, you can find us on YouTube, where you can like, subscribe, and ring that bell for more notifications. Help us get to that 1,000 subscriber mark. We're also going to be in Las Vegas for MagicCon as content creators. So if you're still looking to purchase your badge, you can find a link in the description below. If you purchase your badge through that link, it doesn't just go to support me as a content creator or the Mockstars as a content creator. It goes to support all content creators. Basically, if you purchase it through that, it shows Wizards of the Coast how valuable content creators are to bringing people to the show. So go ahead. So, you know, like, you can support CGB, you can support Swayze, you can support Ash Lizzle, you can support Play to Win, you can support Game Nights, all by purchasing your badge through that link in the description. You can also support us via your major podcasting platforms by leaving us a 5-star review. Makes us look super duper cool. You can also find us on Patreon, where you can become an official Pepperhead. What's up, Pepperhead Nation? Oh yeah. For $3 a month, have your name turned Dr. Pepper Red on the Discord server. It looks super rad. You can also support us at the $5 cherry vanilla pepperhead tier, like Maybe Anthony, Mono Greg, Jacob Hibbert, Tommy Cypher, K Mr. K, Will Rule. You can also support us at the $10 tier, the 2-liter tier, like definitely Jeremy, Poolboy Barry, UWP Quirt, and Aaron Becca. Thank you all. Thank you all for your support in keeping the show going, and yeah, really making it feel like we're really, you know, every episode is worth making. So thank you all for tuning in. We will see you next time. Flash, any final thoughts?
Yeah, whatever.
Thought so. We're out of here. Peace. All right. You know what it is. It's this week's bi-weekly giveaway. If you are a Cherry Vanilla Pepperhead supporter or 2-liter supporter or member of the Mockstars Dr. Pepper Lounge like Revenlift, you have gained entry into this week's bi-weekly giveaway. And this week we are giving away
one of our play mats, the more modern design done by Death Milk Designs. Got a few of these laying around the house. I figured we'd start giving them away. So let's go ahead and randomize, shuffle 1, 2, and 3 times, and go ahead and spin that wheel. Who's going to win? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. It's K, Mr. K. Congratulations, K, Mr. K, for being, you're winning a Mockstars playmat. Thank you so much for being a supporter. We truly do appreciate it. Thank you all for participating, and we will catch you next time. Thanks for listening to the Mockstars podcast, the number one podcast on the internet for Magic the Gathering, Dr. Pepper, Don Cheadle. That's about it. Have a good one. Peace.